girls.
All right. The Hang Zone here, Dan and Jake, with you. And very excited on the Buyer's Barricade ticket hotline right now. My leader, my TV leader, guy I've been reading for so many years, and I don't think we've ever had him on the show. He is Alan Sepinwall. And he is now with Rolling Stone. Is that true? Alan, do you read me?
Yes, yeah, I'm the TV critic at Rolling Stone these days.
Okay. Wherever you are, I am. Because you're great, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I love your stuff. Let me just tell you why, or tell everybody why, we're having you on today in particular. And I would love to talk to you any day. But I just saw that there's this new Sopranos movie out. And apparently this is... you. This is your thing. It's called My Dinner with Alan, a Sopranos Session. It is a three-part, or I guess that's part one. Explain what we have going here, because this is going to be in four theaters around Dallas. But I saw you were involved in this, and I said to Blake, let's book Alan Sepinwall, and lo and behold, here you are.
All right, so I believe the current umbrella title, it's three documentaries under one big title called The Sopranos Sessions. One of them is called My Dinner with Alan, and that's me and Matt Zollerseitz, with whom I co-wrote the book The Sopranos Sessions about the show, sitting in the booth at the diner where the last scene of the show takes place, talking about our love of the show, our relationship with the show, our relationship with each other, and you know, everything like that. Then there's another one featuring the actors who played Furio and Johnny Sack and a couple of the other wise guys on the show talking about their experience. And finally, there's Matt and I interviewing David Chase, the creator of the show, directly. So if you love The Sopranos, there's a whole lot of conversation, a whole lot of insight into what happened on the show, what happened behind the scenes on the show.
That's awesome. Will David Chase say on screen whether or not Tony is dead?
No, never. I mean, he would never. We interviewed him for the book, The Sopranos Sessions, that inspired all of this. Even there, some people interpreted what he told us as saying Tony's dead. He will never definitively say it because, you know, that's just not what he wants to do.
But you will, right?
I will. I mean, I want to be able to give you an answer because I know people like answers. I don't think that there is one. I think that's part of it. I don't think he's just being stubborn. I think he believes that it's an ambiguous ending that's about the idea of Tony dying without actually necessarily killing off Tony. If you want to come out of that and saying, oh, the guy in the members only jacket comes out of the bathroom and he kills him, that makes sense. But if you want to say, no, he doesn't, that makes sense as well. It's just sort of life is unpredictable and precarious at every moment. And in this particular moment, especially.
But I'm fairly convinced that he's dead. And I just want to know if you shared that opinion.
I've gone back and forth. I think there have been times where I was 1,000% convinced he was alive. Times where I'm like, oh, no, obviously he's dead. Look at all this evidence. And at the moment, I'm sort of falling somewhere in between that, where it's like the scene feels like death. It's like it's the tensest thing I may have ever watched on television. Just seeing Meadow park in the car across the street from Holston's is a terrifying thing. But I don't know. I wish I could be more definitive for you, but I kind of like the uncertainty of it. Because it feels very Sopranos to me, where a lot of things about that show, it never came right out and told you what was happening.
This is Alan Sepinwall, the television critic for The Rolling Stone, joining us here in the Hang Zone. So a lot of people have focused on that era of television and like sort of the rise of the anti-hero and rooting for the bad guy. But to me, the Sopranos thing, I think, fits in with The Wire and The Shield as shows that never really totally closed the loop. Like as you said, that ending scene was very Sopranos, but also... it seems like we had an era where there was a rise of almost unresolved conflict at the end of TV shows. And I'm wondering why you think that happened as opposed to like the tidy ending that maybe we saw in series in years past.
I think those shows and a bunch of others from that period and at the turn of the century were being made in response to what TV had been doing for the past 50 years, which was, you know, broad audiences, likable characters, you know, dumbing things down as much as you can. And again, making sure everything made sense, that it was wrapped up, that it was definitive. And these shows were saying, well, what if you didn't have to do that? Look at all the other things that are suddenly possible in television. And I think what you've seen in more recent years is sometimes people take the wrong lessons from it, which is just, oh, people want anti-heroes. People want shows about organized crime. And then you get stuff like Ozark, which is fine, but is definitely sort of like a knockoff of a knockoff of a knockoff. But like there was something really special and artistic about what especially The Sopranos and a few other shows of that period were doing that felt like, wow, TV can be anything it possibly wants.
What are your top three shows of all time? You.
Me. I mean, Sopranos would be one of them. The Simpsons would be one of them. And then if I had to pick a third, that's a coin flip depending on my mood between The Wire and Cheers. If I'm upbeat, it's Cheers. If I'm feeling dark about the world, it's The Wire.
Okay, interesting. Because for a while there, it seemed like we were all going with The Wire and Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I rewatched both. I'm just starting my Sopranos rewatch, and I feel like I overrated Breaking Bad in the moment. Do you buy that?
I don't know. I mean,
because you've rewatched all these too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've written books about all of these shows, and I love them. Breaking Bad is a wonderful show. I think because that one is a little bit neater than all of the others, like you definitively know what happens to Walter White by the end of it, and a lot of other things. And it's sort of a little bit more plot driven than certainly The Sopranos was. There was this brief period of like, oh my God, this is the most exciting show. This is the greatest show ever made. And it's definitely one of them. It would be in my top five without question. I don't know that it's necessarily ultimately as deep or makes me feel as intensely as some of the moments on The Sopranos do. When we did The Sopranos sessions, just watching James Gandolfini again for the first time in, you know, maybe 10 years since I'd looked at the show, I'm like, this is the greatest acting performance TV has ever seen. It's one of the greatest acting performances ever done anywhere. It, like, as great as Bryan Cranston is, and he's incredible, what Gandolfini was doing was just on another level from anybody else. And that, more than anything, it puts The Sopranos in its own tier.
Yeah, I don't think you can... I think you need a rewatch before you start throwing out superlatives like this is the greatest thing of all time. Because right in the middle of Breaking Bad, we were like, oh, let's... This is like, I don't know, The Wire. The Wire was the best. I did the rewatch. Your rewatched blog is... Yeah. The thing that I most recommend to people as far as if you're going to watch The Wire, your second time watching it and then how you would tie everything together. You know, tell us, oh, that's the guy that ends up killing Omar, or that's the guy that, you know, in season one, you'll see him first. It's incredible. Your rewatch and then and I know you've done this with the Sopranos as well, right? Because I'm just starting into your old blog from that. So.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that's what the Soprano Sessions book is about, is we took some of the things that Matt and I had written online and we expanded them, went much, much deeper on every single episode and wrote it in a way that if you're watching the show for the first time, it's safe to read and you'll get stuff out of it. If you're watching the show for the 17th time, you're still going to get things out of it. And like, that's the thing I love about some of those shows, is there's so much there that you can watch them over and over again. And I can keep writing and rewriting stuff about these episodes and feel like I'm not running out of material.
Did your parents used to yell at you for watching TV and you're never going to, you got to like today's parents, or at least let's say 10 years ago, yelling at kids for playing too many video games. And now there's gaming. They're out there making money off of gaming. And here you are making money off of, having to watch more TV. It's great.
Yeah, it wasn't so much my parents, although I think they probably would have preferred I watch a little less, but other people in my extended family, you know, we'd go visit relatives up in Canada, and my aunt would complain, oh, all he does is sit and watch the TV all day. What's he going to do for a living? And, you know, well, I showed her.
This is Alan Sepinwall, TV critic for the Rolling Stone. He's got a new Sopranos documentary. It'll be screening here in DFW. In the next few weeks. I'm wondering how you think, if at all, TV writers will handle the last year and a half. Will we see series that depict this time and COVID and what the nation has been through? Or is it just sort of a give them the full escape and the release, and we almost act like from a cultural standpoint, this didn't even happen?
I've seen some shows. They've already made shows set in COVID. You know, Grey's Anatomy is still taking place in the pandemic. which I guess makes sense because we're still not out of it yet, but it's hard. Like, I sometimes when I watch a show that is set in the present and it doesn't involve COVID at all, it's a distraction, but it almost feels like more of one when I'm watching one where it's like everyone's on Zoom all the time. I kind of want to break from that. And I think we're really not going to fully understand what it's like until it's 5, 10, 15 years from now, and hopefully life is back to normal. And suddenly then you could do a period piece set in this time and you have options. It's so raw, and events are still unfolding and still changing. We're still getting outbreaks even now with the vaccines out there, that it's a hard thing to be doing what's essentially journalism and drama at the same time.
My wife and daughter watch Grey's Anatomy, and my daughter's been complaining about that it's just so much pandemic because she wants an escape. And I'm really surprised that you even brought up Grey's Anatomy. How many hours do you have in a week? Because this is not a great show. This is not a thinking man's show. And you're watching Grey's Anatomy?
I watched a handful of episodes at the start of the season because I was doing a story specifically about how shows were dealing with the pandemic. I've not stuck with that one. But for instance, like ABC has a couple different hospital shows, and The Good Doctor, I think they did two episodes set in the pandemic, and then they had their actors come out of character and say to the audience, okay, now we're doing stuff set after the pandemic, so that's why there aren't any masks anymore. And I think ultimately that's what most of the audience wants right now.
Your book, you have many books. I've bought a few of them. I'm sorry, not everyone, but I'm working on it.
Look, I appreciate whatever patronage you're willing to give me. Thank you.
Okay, but your Breaking Bad book, I bought that. Actually, that was a Christmas gift for the wife last year, and then we watched all of Breaking Bad again, and then she read the chapters after we would watch the show. The Revolution was televised, though, was awesome. And just because also, I feel like so many people underrated Oz, maybe for the last year or two. It went downhill. The musical episode was not its best.
Mm.
But I always loved Oz, and you gave it proper due in that book, which made me wonder, too, what do you think is the most underrated shows, or a few underrated shows that people should go watch? I feel The Shield is one of them, because I was on board from day one and loved it. But I don't hear that thrown about when somebody says, hey, what should I watch from 15, 20 years ago? I usually hear Sopranos, The Wire, The Huge. But The Shield sometimes is, I just don't hear that on most people's list.
No, I think The Shield is an incredible show, and I think you're right that it doesn't quite get its due. One of the reasons I wrote about that and The Revolution was televised was because I felt like it's an important part of the larger story of how sort of the what we now call peak TV spread across television, and that was the first sort of prestige basic cable show. No one had tried anything like that before, and now eventually you get things like Mad Men and Breaking Bad. But it's an incredible show, and it has maybe my favorite dramatic finale of all time. I watched the last two episodes of that show in a screening room at the box offices in New York, and I walked out of the theater feeling like I had just been through a war. Like, I'm not sure anything has quite affected me as emotionally as those two episodes. That's an incredible show. And the great thing is now pretty much all of those classic FX shows are streaming on Hulu. So it's sort of easy to find them all in one place, which is nice.
You said a few minutes ago, you're like, Ozark, it's okay. And I agree. Good. I like it. But are there anything that we should be watching? What do you like that's coming out now? Let's not only talk about things that happened 20 years ago.
Sure. The best thing I've probably watched so far this year is a show on Apple TV Plus. It's called For All Mankind. It's set in like an alternate history where the Russians beat us to the moon landing, and as a result, the space race never ended. So they've done two seasons so far. The second season just completed a couple of weeks ago, and it's fantastic. It's one of the most entertaining things I've watched in quite a while.
Okay. I am in. See, what could make me sign up for Apple TV? Alan Sepinwall. Have them spell your name right.
He'll enjoy his cut.
On the check, yeah.
Sure. I don't even get a commission from this. I'm just talking about shows I like.
You know what they say on The Wire, though? Still had the idea, though.
Still had the idea, though.
Perfect.
Still had the idea,
though. Perfect.
You're the guy that came up with the McNuggets.
There you go.
Well, let's...
Who's the boy, String?
Let's end this like we started it and promote the movie that you are involved in that is opening tomorrow? Now? Yesterday?
It's been opening. It's a slow release across the country. I'm looking at the website right now. And if you want details, it's CelebrateTheSopranos.com. And I believe it's coming to DFW on June 2nd.
Okay.
You know, and it's changing all the time, but it's going to be on at least four theaters in your area for a little bit. And it's really a lot of fun. And I don't necessarily enjoy, like actors, I don't always enjoy seeing myself on the screen, but I've watched these docs a bunch of times now. And I think if you love the show, I think you will really enjoy it. And if you feel safe going to a movie theater, by all means.
Now you'll feel like them when you see people ripping you. And your on stage presence, he just wasn't believable.
You know, like they also say in The Wire, it's all in the game, though.
Hey, can we ask you for one more thing? This is our wacky radio liner, where we would like you to identify yourself and then say, I never listened to Dan and Jake on The Ticket.
Okay. I'm Alan Sepinwall, and I've never listened to Dan and Jake on The Ticket.
There you go. Really enjoyed meeting you. I've enjoyed listening to you on with Bill Simmons in the past, and love your writing, love your work, and I encourage everybody to buy every book that Alan Sepinwall has ever written.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Alan. Good to see you, man.
The game, yo.
So many wire drops.
There he is. Will Ted Emmerich work us in next?